stay on the road long enough and your brain starts to cook. It's been 30 years since we last saw Mad Mel's petrol-head wanderer of the scorched outback, but Fury Road shows no sign of entropy or compromise. The 70-year-old George Miller, who has spent the gap making talking animal films and gingerly trying to get a new Max off the ground, has delivered a rarity, a popcorn blockbuster fueled by the daring clarity of personal, perhaps psychotic, vision. With its blistering locomotive energy, Fury Road moves at a different warp speed to the blandly directed studio fare of, say, Age of Ultron, or even its crowd-pleasing gearbox cousin, Furious 7, all bunged up with soap opera embellishment, clubhouse bro sweat. It's been some years since the events of the last Mad Max, or maybe not. The timeline's vague, fitting for a film that's both sequel and reimagining, a remake without the new origin furniture. Some flashes of thermonuclear devastation and we're on. Our boy Max, Tom Hardy taking over from Gibson, is captured by the cult of Immortan Joe, a wheezing autocrat who uses rationed water and religious mania to hold sway over the desert's dirty and downtrodden. Joe's war boys, his army of flower-skinned skinheads and kamikaze martyrs, string Max up as a living blood bank for an alien member of their ranks, played by Nicholas Hoult. Meanwhile, Charlize Theron's Imperiota Furiosa, captain of the war rig, a weaponized fuel tanker, smuggles out Joe's slick sleeves in a desperate dash for a half-remembered paradise off the edge of the horizon. The war boys charge after her with a muzzled Max in tow, their convoy attracting the attention of neighboring warlords, and the chase is on, and you better keep up. Fury Road is demented and beautiful, the first Mad Max operated at the fringes of civilization, the last gasp of old certainties, with an Avenger hero powered by family trauma and grief. By now the Earth is tilted off its axis, sliding the remainder of the population into a parallel new metal Looney Tunes universe. Here the freaks and the crazies rule, their world animated by a collective nervous breakdown and the roaring din of machine and murder. The drums of war pound like a heartbeat, literally, as in the convoy has an in-house quartet of war boys whose job is to maintain a steady percussive banging. If you think that's pretty out there, there's also a guy who scratches out metal guitar riffs on a roving wall of speakers. Also, his guitar shoots fire. Fury Road is remarkably unbothered by certain conventions of structure in terms of setup, minor crisis, regroup, major crisis, and gender. Max gets top billing but is quickly reduced to passenger or movie cargo as the nubile wives take charge. Rosie Huntington Whiteley and others led by Charlize Theron's Desert Ripley. Fury Road attempts to fuse old-school stunt work with drenched digital colouring and only partly succeeds. Road Warrior had madness, yes, but it also had a tightly managed economy of space and resources, building tension and confrontation from basic metrics of bullets and fuel. Fury Road's cat-and-mouse automotive games across bleak, vast sands are terrifically clear in concept and execution, framed in gorgeous wide shots. But the unreality of it all blunts a sense of danger. Without Gibson's sleazy charisma or a clear sense of stakes in what's going on, it's actually possible to be occasionally bored by the relentless, grinding noise, a surprising emotion. Miller bursts out his action with a classicalism virtually unknown in the modern blockbuster, but his excesses aren't a million miles off the fuck-the-frame styles of Zack Snyder or even Whispert. Michael Bay? Fury Road is overeager, but is also wildly ambitious in scale. A hot amber opera with carny idiosyncrasies. Where else would you get a dramatis persona that includes Toast Annoying, Rictus Erectus, and the Doof Warrior?